Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the virtual CISO moment. Sabine van der Linden joins us. She is the co-founder, chief executive officer, and venture partner for Alchemy Crew. Sabine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Greg. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to be with you, too. I know we talked before we started the recording just about how our schedules have been so convoluted to try to get this going. We've actually been trying to get this recording, I think, for about 6 months. So I am so happy to finally be talking with you.
Same here. Looking forward to it.
Would love to hear your career journey from the beginning. You're a little bit of a different type of guest than what we normally have, because normally we start with people who are in IT and InfoSec. But I love your journey. So if you wouldn't mind spending a few minutes going through that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Sabine van der Linden, and I'm French. I moved to the UK many years back, 30 years ago, and I live in London. And through my move to the UK, I was granted a grant to study here, and I stayed. The interesting thing about my study is I did finance and business, which took me into the insurance space. So I work for Lloyd's of London, and I worked over the year for many large insurance companies. After working in insurance, I did my MBA and then worked as a consultant, a strategy consultant for IBM. IBM acquired PwC, so I became PwCC, so PwC Consulting, many years back, and I became a strategy consultant within that practice. The interesting thing in doing that is, you know, you learn about strategy, you learn about interviewing clients, you learn about marketing, you know, you learn all the skill set around how you build businesses. And so after being in that world for, I would say, around 8 years, I decided to specialize into technology. So from, you know, doing business strategy, value creation, I went into technology because I really wanted to understand how to deliver value for businesses. And I felt that digital was the way to go. So I worked for companies like FICO, Pega, you know, big tech companies over the years. And after, I guess, 18, 20 years of working for big corporates, I decided to move in the startup space. Mm-hmm. So I run two very well-known acceleration programs in Europe, you know, like Techstar, Y Combinator's, our European one was Startup Bootcamp. So I led this in Europe and United States, and I focus on technology for insurance companies. So Startup Bootcamp, InsureTech. So that's what got me into really evaluating startups, scouting for startups, helping corporates partner with startups. And after doing this for, I guess, 6-7 years, you know, the journey around acceleration and helping those companies really observe, but, you know, start to collaborate with ventures. Insurance was just starting getting into, I guess, technology and startups. They got scared by some of the announcement from Sequoia and Anderson Horowitz saying insurance is ripe for disruption. And so a lot of those corporates wanted to really understand how to collaborate with startups. But what happened, I would say, just before COVID-19 in February 2020, I decided to leave Startup Bootcamp and set up Alchemy Crew or Alchemy Crew Ventures. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to work with the companies I was already working with to help them move to another level of collaboration with startup, which I call commercialization. So today, I build commercialization labs for corporates, helping them to collaborate with startups. And there are three pillars to that. Collaboration, so commercialization, investment, so helping them identify who to invest in. But what I realized as well, there's a lot of need around go-to-market strategies, which takes me also to do a lot of influencer strategy for those big brands.
So you and I have a little bit in common there about, you were talking about how you moved over to work with startups. You left corporate to do that. Now, I left corporate to work with small and mid-sized businesses. Some of those are startups. And it was a very difficult decision for me. I don't know if it was the exact same environment, but for me, I have always had a paycheck. I've always worked for corporate, always been very comfortable. Startups, by their very nature, they can go south real fast. They lose their funding or something bad happens. They have a cyber attack. So for me, I felt a need to help small and mid-sized businesses. What was the reason why you left to start working with startups?
It's a great question. So the last big company I was working for, and, you know, I was sitting on the board and I had an amazing role there. I was actually, I probably stayed in that company for 5 years. The company has been acquired, so it doesn't exist anymore. The name was SSP. So they were focused actually on core system for insurance companies. And I was head of strategy and innovation. So trying to bring that their product, their core system to be more valuable. And so I componentized it, split it into components so that they could actually sell them that platform in and identifying the value of each component at a higher value level. Well, whilst I was in my fifth year, first I gave an ultimatum to the CEO, which he thought I was joking. I said, I would leave if you don't do something and I give you 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I guess he thought I was joking. But at the same time, a group of former CEOs of a big international bank approached me and said, you know, Sabine, we invested 5 million in a startup. And I think we don't know how they are using their money. Would you mind going and work for that venture to help with their become their chief revenue officer and see how we can get that to work better? And literally, because I don't have children and I have an amazing husband, he said, okay, go and try something different. Literally is what happened. Go and try something different. And so here I am working for a group of investors for a startup, a fintech startup, actually a regtech startup at the time. Mm-hmm. I find myself as a chief revenue officer and I learned everything about why startup fails. And so I was there for 1 year and I realized at the end of that year, I said, you know, the things we call fintech, this is going to happen in insurance. So I'm going to go back to my industry and I'm going to start building insurtech. And I was one of the first people in 2015 to start on the foray of insurance technology. So startup for insurance insurance companies, becoming advisory board member to different boards, helping the industry start understanding what this innovation meant for them. And at the same time, Startup Bootcamp heard my name in some ways, was looking for new managing directors and said, you know, would you want to take over our programming? And that's literally the way I went into working with Younger Ventures. So from doing it myself, I found a path to go back to working for, I would say, Startup Bootcamp, but you know, it was my chapter, it was my business, right? So it was like being an entrepreneur still, even though I got in some ways a paycheck. But then quickly I realized I built those two businesses, I can continue doing more on my own. That is my path to moving smaller.
I think that that's great, that the impetus was just simply just try something different. And you pointed out something that I think is very important. I've a lot of times people have asked me about like making that leap and what advice would you give? And I always tell folks that they need to do a personal risk assessment. And one of the aspects of that is ensuring that you have the support of your family. And if your husband was completely supportive of this, and that was a major factor in you going, right?
Correct. Yeah, I have an amazing husband. And I ask him, you know, like you would do with your family member, I'm going to do something which is more risky, still controlled, right? But right. It's still riskier. So I don't know where that's going to take me. And he said, go for it. Why not?
And if you hadn't done that, you wouldn't be nearly where you're at today. Is that a fair assessment?
100%. And, you know, like you, I truly enjoy running my own businesses. For sure, you know, there are ups and downs always. But I love running my own project. I love working with the companies I'm working with, big ones and small ones. I love setting direction. I love having time to learn new things, right? Usually when you're in a corporate, you're actually in a very specific role, you have specific tasks, you have specific KPIs. And I love that flexibility to adapt to the market. So right now, generative AI is a big thing, right? I've done a lot of work last year on generative AI, and we are going to continue to really understand what that means for our industry. That gives me the flexibility to focus on things I love.
I try to encourage folks so much, and I love hearing your story about that because that mirrors a lot of what I feel. I be quite honest, my only regret about doing it, and I'm sure you probably know what I'm going to say, is that I wish I had done it sooner. So, but there's a lot of challenges with regards to working with tech startups, and I'm sure that you see a lot with them both now and in the coming years. But I want to focus first on cybersecurity, because a lot of times, my experience, for example, when you're working with a startup, they are so hyper focused on establishing and building the business, and everything else is very difficult to get a handle around. So what do you see as some challenges to startups with regards to cybersecurity based on what you've seen working with them over the years?
Yes, you're so right. So interesting enough, I find that, you know, founders, you know, who leave big corporates and follow their passion, right? They find a problem they want to solve, and then they say, okay, let's go and build a tech company. They are amazing at understanding the idea and the technology and at promoting, right? And going and trying to close deals. So knocking on doors to try to close deal to actually prove product market fit. But often they don't focus on other things which are as important, for example, marketing. I think they lack in marketing and lack in understanding the impact of cyber on their operation. So there is this comfort level around cyber. It's not going to happen to me. But, you know, like any businesses, big or small, and today, you know, attackers love smaller businesses with weaknesses. More and more needs to look at cyber much more closely. You know, security awareness is critical for small businesses. You know, even me, I've often said to my team, and every week we go and talk about it, is please don't click on links which are not supposed to be, you know, clicked on. You know, check that email is coming from me, because we have had situation where people are trying to get into the organization by using a slightly different email address than mine, right? Phishing scam, which leads often to ransomware, and that is what often we want to stop. So what I find is it's not going to happen to me, or somebody else is going to do it, right? And so usually it needs to be top of mind for founders to focus on the risk of cyber, looking at very simple things such as, first, for me, it's awareness, so training my team, because first line of defense is the team, right? But also that's where the problem occur with the mistakes. It's around the two-factor authentication as well. I love the Yubico keys as well, even though, you know, I'm not technical. I had to learn how to set them up. All this stuff becomes, you know, very key. Even endpoint device, you know, your mobile device, getting your Avast and your VPN as well working on your device. Make the device a bit slower, but at the end of the day, you're safer.
So what is a good way to get that, use the term top of mind to the founders? What's the secret sauce to get that in their head? It's like, I know you're trying to build this, but you really got to think about cybersecurity.
So, you know, to a problem, you need to find a solution. But also for me, like you, you know, I run my own podcast and also I write a lot. So education is critical. So just literally this week, I'm doing a piece of work with a major consulting firm, global consulting firm, one of the top five. And, you know, while doing some research around the top 10 trends for 2024, I would guess cyber is one of the top 10 trends. Well, an average loss for a small business, you know, with fewer than 500 people to even a million, 1,000 people below and to higher is between 2 million and 3 million. Wow. I mean, those are big numbers. Mm-hmm. And there's an estimate that there will be a cyber crime representing something like $10 trillion by 2024. A lot of those are going to come from risk affecting small businesses. I know small businesses have limited resources, financial and people, but because of that, they really need to pay attention to it. So for me, it's education. It's about spreading the word, and it's making it simpler. Like I said, two-factor authentication.
Oh, it's absolutely about
small steps that we can start taking, which doesn't take that long, to at least gradually protect our business. And also, you know, training, getting some of those trainings which are out there. We have a great training in my industry, which is run by the Cyber Insurance Academy, located in Israel, actually. And they aim to educate insurance people around the risk of cyber. And I'm sure there must be others for each industries which are out there.
So it sounds like from a security person's perspective, and I preach this a lot, that if you're going to really, really try to get in front, talk their language, not yours, and their language, particularly with startups, is going to be money. That's probably a good way to approach it from what I understand.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, though, earlier how you got into working with startups. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a startup that had received some funding. I think you said $5 million. And correct. They weren't sure, the investors, I guess, weren't sure on how that money was being used. So is that another risk to startups where they get funding, they get the investment, but they don't have a structured plan on how to use that funding?
100%. I mean, I've seen so many of them. You know, when you get funding, it's important to think long-term because, you know, at the end of the day, the funding comes against some KPIs, right? Some key performance indicators that need to be achieved against that funded money. And often what you find is the money is spent probably too quickly. And so therefore, if it's supposed to last 12 to 18 months, it ends up lasting 9 months and you need to go and raise more money. So being able to have very clear insight around how that money is being spent is critical and really understanding what are priorities for a business at different stages of growth. But yes, often startups have difficulties to really assess and plan and forecast how to spend that money based on the top line they're also trying to create to mm-hmm. actually meet the need of the investor and being able to get more funding in the future. But I have to say as well, Greg, you know, last year was not a great year for startup funding, right? When you look at some of the numbers in previous year, 2021, 2022, you know, there was like 1.2 trillion investment around, you know, 1 trillion in 2022. This year, or last year, 2023 was half, half a trillion, so 551 billion, which means it's very hard to get money today. You have to prove that you can deliver against those KPIs mm-hmm. and you need to demonstrate that you have a very strong business model as well.
This is a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, but it's my understanding that when a startup receives a round of funding, and I'm not even going to pretend that I am an expert at understanding and being able to say what each round is. I just know that there are some of them. That generally becomes public knowledge in some cases or all cases.
Some cases, you know, I have the databases, so I do have, you know, I'm only at 2.5 million startups, so I do have this visibility, but not all of them share this information, probably at early stage. Think about the first stage, it's called seed, your first seed right. money. They may disclose it, they may not disclose it. I mean, you tend to get this information often by calling them. The one who disclose it is PR, right? They want people to know so then they can actually create awareness in the market. When you start going Series A, which is after your seed, your super seed, you go into Series A, you tend to see more information out there because, again, it's about trying to drive that top line growth. And so announcing or letting your market know create validity that investors believe in you. And so therefore you're open for business and making money.
So I'm going to put on my criminal hat here now. I've got a couple of things that I've now put together. So we've got startups that are getting funding, folks within startups that really aren't great sometimes at actually being able to manage that money. And you've got this being common knowledge in some cases with regards to funding. Well, if I was a criminal, I'd be like, I think I want to try to go after that. And business email compromise is one of the biggest threats out there to small and mid-sized businesses. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but my conclusion here is that that is yet another reason why startups in particular should be very concerned about cybersecurity. True or false?
True. 100% true, Greg. 100%.
I love how that just all came home. That was great.
Absolutely. But think about some of the costs, right? Direct or indirect costs. I gather you have from a direct viewpoint, if you get caught into a cyber situation for as a small business, data recovery, you know, your data is gone, you need to recover it, it's costly. Why do we have a ransomware? You may have to do forensic investigation. So I am in insurance. And if you were not insured against your cyber risk, then it's a problem. But if you were, potentially insurers would want to do a forensic investigation to see what has happened. All this is costly, right? So you have a lot of costs, legal fees, then loss of revenue. So if you've lost your data and then you are impacted by reputational risk, maybe your clients do not want to work with you. And now if you look at contracts closely, you will see there's a line in those contracts to make sure that you're cyber protected if you are going to work with big clients as well.
And in order to get cyber insurance, get that coverage, the business usually has to demonstrate in some way, shape, or form, usually it's through some sort of a questionnaire or even more, that they are actually meeting these certain controls and all of that. Well, what happens if a business they're at a station is that we do all this and then they have an incident, it turns out that they don't actually have all those controls in place? I would imagine that would mean that their claim would be denied, right?
Correct. But insurance has become a little bit more advanced now. So now we also use digital capabilities, right, to do those assessments. So imagine sending, looking on the web and doing, deep dark web investigation to see what is out there, but also by using technology, seeing what is good and what is bad within the infrastructure of the business. Now we can do that as well. And a lot of insurers who are the most advanced will actually use technology to evaluate, so do that audit. So it's a digital audit to see how safe that business is, and then provide recommendation for security, and then provide the insurance.
So the bottom line is that startups and small and mid-sized businesses, but particularly startups, they really need to be concerned about cybersecurity. And I know that that's probably just going to add to their stress. So I apologize for doing that, all you all that are watching this. But there's also a lot of stress involved in other areas as well, too. And certainly within not only the startup world, just owning and running a business as you've been doing, I'm sure that can be very stressful for you. I very much talk about on this podcast the need to step away. I really honestly believe that in the cybersecurity industry, and I know it's not limited to cyber or information security, but there is a problem with burnout and mental health because we're being pushed too far. And so I encourage people to get away and do something to take them away from the grind. What are one or a couple of things that you do to step away from the stress?
So, I felt like, end of year holiday was really short actually this year. And one thing I do enjoy doing, I call them like my lazy day, where I have my onesie on, I have a nice cup of cocoa in my bed for the whole day. And I watch, I would say, crap TV or good TV. For example, during Christmas, I watched Harry Potter twice. I know it sounds like really extreme. And at the same time, I watched James Bond. So, quite different.
For me, it would be a Rocky series, anything Star Trek and Roadhouse. So
yeah, you see me, Star Trek. I'm a Star Trek person as well. So I would definitely do some Star Trek as well. But also it's about having the walk, right? I live in London, can be quite rainy, but going for that walk. I live in central London, but it's very villagey where I live. And so I will go on the main street, look at the local shops, but also I've been friendly with some of the local shops. I said, come, Sabine, let's have a cup of tea. And I will spend an hour with them chatting about the world, and then I come back to work.
So long as chatting about the world doesn't mean chatting about work stuff, right?
No. Chatting about their lives, the dog, talking about other things but work, yes.
So what future plans do you have coming up?
So as I mentioned to you, I've started building Alchemy Crew Ventures in 2020. And, like any businesses, it pivots. So what I do within Alchemy, I do two things, R&D labs and commercialization labs. So I help big corporates, mostly insurance companies, some financial services, banks with insurance arms, to really learn how to collaborate with startups. So first, this might be research, pure think tank. Okay, what is going to disrupt my business model? And can I solve that with startups? And then commercialization is really building blueprints to help them implement the right framework, a bit like what you are saying, having great cybersecurity technology in-house is critical, but you need to have a framework as to how you identify and eliminate and monitor cybersecurity risk. It's the same with commercialization. You need to have a strong framework for that. So scaling that for sure. And I never, you know, it's not I'm in a lifestyle business, but I want really to work with your corporates because they are quite demanding, right? The big companies, the Fortune 500 can be quite demanding for my small team. But also it's helping the startups. So I work with corporates, I work with startups, and I work with investors. So also work with startup, helping them with their go-to-market strategy. So I sit on boards, I do advice. And so it's why, you know, when you look at my profile on LinkedIn, it looks long, but actually my core is Alchemy Crew, but then doing a little bit of advice with a number of brands and helping them actually convert the technical jargon into a language that their client base will want to understand and therefore buy from them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. A fascinating conversation. I certainly learned a lot. And I so much appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me, Greg. It was a pleasure.
And everybody, stay secure.